So good morning again. And, you know, I keep telling them if they keep practicing one day, they're going to be really good. Man, that was good stuff. You know, I'm just so honored I get to share a church fellowship with them. And man, we are so blessed with musicians, and not just people that can play and sing, but people that love God, and they do it with from their heart. And so I'm just so thankful that we have them. And so you get a chance, make sure you let them know how much you appreciate that. And so anyway, today we are in a 1 week series. yeah, it's like a message. Okay, so let's just call it that. I did spend time and made some fancy stuff for it. But it's just one thing. Today we're going to talk about one thing, because here's a reality that we all have stuff in our lives that we know needs to change. I mean, we have stuff that we know that is there that shouldn't be there. We have stuff that we know needs to be there that's not there. We all have stuff that we want to see change, and we're always looking for something that needs to be different and trying to figure it out, whether it's it's stuff in our lives, whether it's our finances or our relationships or whatever it may be. We're looking for stuff that we know needs to be added or taken away to make us better. And so really what we're going to talk about today is that very thing, but just from a spiritual perspective. What is it in our lives that we want to see God do or help us overcome or whatever that may be to be able to be all that He wants us to be? I mean, we talk about it all the time, and, you know, I want to reiterate it, that every single person in this room, every single person that will listen to it on a podcast, every single person that you will pass on the road today, every single person that you'll eat lunch beside and work beside this week and all of that stuff, every single person was created with a purpose. And we see stuff on the news all the time, and man, just the tragedies that are going on. But you need to understand that every single person was created for a purpose for God. That we were all created in His image. There's nobody that was created outside of His image that we'll encounter. Now, what's going on within them and where their choices are and all of that, now that we see that's not of God a lot. But the reality is that we need to understand that. And that's how we need to pray. That's how we need to respond in our lives, is realizing that we all have a purpose. Whether we agree with them or not agree or whatever. That we seem to be on the same team or not on the same team. We're all created with that purpose. And so today I want to talk about the purpose. I want to talk about moving forward in the purpose. Because you've come here seeking something. You came here this morning for some reason. You know, whether it's you got drug here by mama or whatever. You know, it's just you're here. And so I believe that we're all here, not by accident, but by on purpose. And so I want us to be able to move ahead in our lives. Now, for a lot of us, you know, here we are in July. We're more than halfway through the year. Think about that. 2016 is half gone, y'all. So what happens, though, in our years, though, we begin January, we usually begin up here, you know, because it's a new year and we have new expectations and all that. So we build it and we have this momentum. And January starts off like this, and then by the time we get to February, but by the time we get to June, man, we're ready for vacation and all that stuff. But what happens is we tend to get in this lull, and then we kind of, you know, build up at the end of the year. But what I want us to do, and I think God is calling us to do, is that let's build some momentum now. Let's don't wait till the end of the year or the first of the year. Let's figure out a way to keep some momentum going now so that God can build us up, and maybe even 2017 starts out even higher than it would have if we'll go ahead and begin that process now. So we've had, for some of you, you've had just a heck of a year. You've had some tragedies come. You've had some hardships come. You've had all kinds of stuff that you've faced. There's been people that have come in and out of your lives. There's people that have been good to you and bad to you. There's situations that have gone your way and some that haven't. And so for some of us in the room, we're ready for 2016 to be gone. Others of us have some good things going on, and so we're ready for 2016 to just keep on keeping on. But the reality is, for all of us, there's things that we want to see happen. Now, if you've had a tough year and you're going through some difficult things, let me just encourage you right now. On your connection card, there's a place right there for you to write a prayer request, or one or more. And I'm going to ask you to write it down. You don't have to be specific. I don't need to know your business, but I want to. If that's you, then just write it down. Let's pray for you, because we'll do that. We'll pray for you. If there's a place you can put some praises, if you're having a great 2016 and you just want to praise God for those things, man, let it rip. And let's go. Let's encourage each other with that. But today, as we get into this, I want to tell you that there are some promises for us, whether we're having a good year or a bad year, that can push us forward to being where God wants us to be. In Isaiah 43, there's a promise here for those of us that have had a bad year and it's not gone the way that we want it to, that maybe life hasn't gone that way for the last several years. There's a promise here. I want us to hear it. Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. For some of us, I just need to stop there and let's just pray and get it over with, right? Because some of us are dwelling in the past. But the word says, forget the former things, do not dwell in the past. See, I am doing a new thing. So now it springs up. Do not perceive it. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Some of you feel like you're in the driest desert, but what does it say? I'm making a way. I'm making streams in the wasteland. God's doing some good stuff, and if we'll get out of His way and get on board with Him, He can do the things in our lives that we're looking for Him to do. And so I want to encourage us to look and get out of the past, see that He wants to do something new, and let's let Him do that. He wants to bring us along. You know, at the beginning of the year, we always make resolutions, don't we? You know, those things that we wish we could see happen. And so, you know, we start out the year in January, and we've made these resolutions, and most of them, half of them don't make it out of January, do they? They really don't. We drop it. And then the rest of them that we hadn't dropped, they're gone by Valentine's anyway. You know, that's just how we function. And the reason is that a lot of times we're just not focused on the way we should be. Because here's the thing, resolutions don't work, or they don't fail because we don't have good intentions, right? Those are good. We usually want good things out of our lives. The problem is that we may have good intentions, but most of the time we don't have God intentions. We're not seeking the things that He wants for us. We're seeking the things that we want for us. And we become very self-centered, and we become very focused on who we are. And what God's wanting us to do is He's wanting to give you good things. He's wanting to have some streams in your wasteland. He's wanting to do a new thing in you. But you're so focused on you. And I get so focused on me that He can't do what He wants to do. And so this message today is about being able to find that we get the good intentions, but we miss the God intentions. And so we don't see ourselves becoming all that He wants us to be, and we don't get to enjoy the blessings that He wants for us. But listen to Matthew 6, verse 33. He says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." If we'll look out for what God wants for us and in us and through us, and we'll desire that and go after that, listen, a lot of the things that we struggle with, they'll go to the wayside, because we won't be focused on them, and we'll just put ourselves in places that won't allow those things to have a grip in our lives like they do. Now, you need to know that I'm not just telling you that because, it sounds good. I'm not just telling you that because I read that somewhere. No. I know that because I've lived that, and I live that myself every day. Just like you, I've got to make choices, and I got to allow God to do new things in my life and bring me along, just like you do. But I know when I don't let Him, when I get focused on me and the things that I want, man, that's when I get myself in trouble. That's when I find myself not being the places that I need to be, not thinking the things I need to think, and not doing the things that He wants me to do. And so I find myself slipping. And so today I want us to come in and really think about how can we have better, how can we have God intentions? How can we have a desire to see His kingdom first? How can we come in and see Him do the things that He really wants us to do? And so today I just want to ask you, I want to ask you four one thing questions. Just four. I'm going to ask them to you, and then I'm going to let you and God deal with what the answers are. But I just want to lay these out there and get us to thinking about what it is that God wants to do in our lives to be able to be all that He wants us to be, to be able to see 2016 end on a positive note and with momentum and in the direction that God wants it to be for every single one of us. You may say, Ron, one thing? I know I got a bunch of things. But listen, well, that's good, and we'll get to those things. But I believe if we'll just focus on one thing at a time that God wants to do, listen, if you'll let Him do one thing in your life now, get that there, then later on you can ask Him for another thing. And before long, guess what? It's not one thing anymore. It's 10 things that He's done in your life. And you find yourself in a place that you never dreamed you could be. That you can find yourself on a level with God that you just never dreamed could be possible. But it's not because you let Him do all these things. Because, listen, if you try to quit smoking, quit drinking, and quit cussing all at the same time, guess what? Somebody's going to die, right? I know that. I know how that goes. But if you maybe focus on one of those, then you can overcome it. And you can see that happen, and then you can go to the next thing and the next thing. So let's talk about that. Four one thing questions that you can answer and to see which one means the most to you today. So here's number one. What one thing do you desire from God? Now, if you look on the back of your program, there's an outline there. You can write this down. I would encourage you to write this, the answers down, and really kind of take this and hold on to it and really work on this, because I'm going to ask you four one thing questions, but I'm going to ask you to answer one of them. And you need to decide which one of these, through God speaking to you this morning, which one do you need to answer first? So what one thing do you desire from God? Here's what we do with God. We think He works like this. We think we get out our Bible and we rub it, and God's going to pop out, and he's going to grant our wishes. That He's some biblical genie, right? That if we'll just rub our Bibles really good, He'll pop out. It would help if you'd even open it. That might be better. Because some of us don't even open it. We just rub it and hope He comes out. But no. If you open it, I guarantee you some good stuff would come out of that. But anyway, we think if we just do that, God pops out and He will do whatever, But the reality is, that's not who He is, and that's not how we should see Him. That's not how God works. But if he were to come to you and say, What's one thing you desire from me? Because let me just tell you, He wants to know what that is. He already knows, but He wants you and I to say it. He wants us to say what it is. What does our heart desire? What is it the one thing that you desire from Him? And if He were to say, what's one thing that if I could do anything for you, what would it be? And for a lot of us, we know what that is already. You've already thought about it. Before I ever really got much into it, you already knew. Once the first time I read it, it's like, that's it. But what is the one thing that you would ask Him to do if He just said, what do you desire from me? I love King David and the account of him in the scriptures. And if you've never really followed him, never really read much about him, man, you should read through that, the First and Second Samuel, and really the Psalms. Many of them were written by him, and they really tell about his heart and all of that. But the reality is David's life, it just parallels mine so much. I just see that in him and me and him. And as I read it, I love to hear it. And so David was described as a man after God's own heart. And here's something in Psalm 27. He desired this thing of God. And it says this. It says, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Now, the truth is there's probably none of us in the room today who've ever just said, if I could have one thing, it would just be to look at God all day. Now, that's just not who we are. It's not our nature to want to desire that. But this is the thing. That is what we should desire. That is what we should look for. We want God in our lives, and we just want to look at him and know that where we are is exactly where he wants us to be, and that he is the one who's going to guide me, that he's the one that's going to answer me. He's the one who's going to show me the things that I need in my life. There's one thing that I know for sure, is that we need God in our lives. We need to desire this. Listen, in the good times, guess who we need in our lives? We need God in our lives, right? In the bad times, guess who we need in our lives? We need God in our lives. See, we tend to just go to him when we got bad times, but we should seek him in the good times as well. We should seek him all the way through, because he's the one who brings us the answers and all the things that we need. He's the one who loved us enough to not leave us the way we are, but he gave his son on a cross to pay the price for our sins so that we didn't have to die separated from him, but through his son Jesus paying the penalty of sin for us, that we could believe him, trust him, and be delivered from that and restored into a relationship with God that we were created for all along. That's the reality of the gospel. And so the thing that we need to answer and figure out is, what do we desire from him? What is it truly that we want? I know if I was to ask most of us, and I could give you my list too, but say, what do you desire from God? Man, I really desire that Lamborghini. I really desire that house at the beach. Yep. Anybody got one that I could borrow? No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, the reality, we desire, if we were to really talk about our desires, man, I just desire to have that zero-turn mower, man. You know, I just really desire to have, you know, that old rat rod pickup that I could, you know, ride and squeal the tires all through Albemarle. I just desire, you know, we got some crazy stuff that we desire. But the reality is we need to desire him. We need to desire him to be all that he can be in our lives. He's the creator of the universe. And we go to him and we ask him for stuff. Let me tell you that if you have an addiction in your life, he's the one that can bring you out of that. I'm being straight up with you today. It's been, if you follow church news and everything else, there's a pastor in South Carolina at New Spring Church, Pastor Perry Noble, and man, I think so much of Perry Noble. I think that he's a great pastor. I think that he is a wise man. I think that he has just done an amazing thing. God's used him in so many different ways. This week, you know, they had to remove him from his position as lead pastor of the church because of alcohol. And you know, that was devastating for a lot of people, because they had put him on this pedestal as Pastor Perry, you know. And the reality is that is Pastor Perry, and he didn't deserve to be on that pedestal. Nobody does. But the reality is that he had to come to a place where he had to admit to where he is and what he's struggling with. And listen, we all need to understand that we are all susceptible at any moment to give ourselves over to the things that Satan would want us to give ourselves over to. And so, man, we need to pray for New Spring Church. We need to pray for Pastor Perry, and we need to pray for the leadership of that church and everything else. And listen, it can happen anywhere at any time. And to any of us, sin is the respecter of nobody. And so the bigger we can get, you know, Satan can get the fall, the bigger the impact. And so you just need to know that it's been amazing to watch how the church has responded to that. And I think it's been the proper response. Unfortunately, I don't think it would have been the same response had he had an affair. But the reality is it should be the same. We should love him and care for him and want the best for him and still pray for him. But that's a whole other message, and we can talk about that later. But the reality is that it's a struggle. And I know people that are struggling with alcohol right now. I know that. In this building, right here, right now. And I'm not being ugly. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not pointing anybody out. I just want to be honest that, listen, there's people here struggling with alcohol. There's here people here struggling with pot. There's people here struggling with pills. There's people here struggling with porn. There's people here struggling with sex. There's people here struggling with finances and money stuff and being, you know, crazy about having, got to have stuff. Listen, it's us. We are all messed up. But the only way to overcome that is a desire to have God in our lives, to have more of him and to allow him to be the strength and the power that pulls us out of that. And the moment we begin to put our hope and trust in anything else, it just won't work. But you need to know that it's going to be difficult and tough. It won't be easy. If it was easy, everybody would do it, and we wouldn't have the issues. But we got to be together on this. And we got to trust God in it. And we got to be willing to allow him to be who works through our addictions and our strongholds. He's got to be the one that works in our marriages. Listen, marriages are falling apart like crazy. And things are coming in and attacking the marriage. And we need to understand that he's the one who can, the desire of our heart is that he could be the one that can put it all together. He is the glue and the thing that just should hold them together. But the reality is we've taken him out of it, and then we've hoped that we could stay together. And so I've met with people this week, and I've been counseling, and one of the first questions I ask is, and eventually get to is, where are you spiritually? You see, we may come together as one, and we are one, but the reality is we're going to be held accountable separately for our relationship with God. Because the husband may be the head of the household, but the wife still, she's still a believer and a follower. And so we've got to understand that we've got to have that relationship. Our desire should be for him to be number one in our lives, not our spouse, not our kids, not our job, nothing else but him and the relationship with him. Because if that's not going right, if that's messed up, listen, all of those others are not going to work. And so I want to tell you today that the desire of our heart's got to be to put him number one. It's got to be to seek him out, to allow him to be God, to be the one who created it and put it and made marriage what it is, and then trust him with it. One of the things that I've desired in my life, and among many other things, is accountability. Listen, if you take me and put me out on my own, I'm like this big blob, all right? I am not good at structuring myself. I'm not good at holding myself accountable. It's just one of those things. And so I desire to have that in my life. I desire to have people hold me accountable. And I went to God several years back, and I said, God, I need this. This is what I desire to have, is accountability that will hold me where you want me to be. And you know what he did? He gave it to me. He gave it to me from above. He gave me that from leadership, that people that hold me accountable, that are like pastors to me. He gave it to me from below. He gave me people that are looking at me, wanting me to be, you know, to help guide them and to be that accountability from above for them, they're who are watching what's going on. And so he gave me those, because if I fall and I don't do life the way that I know God wants me to, then listen, they're watching. I'm going to lead them where they don't need to be. And then he gave it to me beside me. He gave me friends that just love me and hold me there, that will ask me difficult questions about where I am in my relationship with God, where I am in my relationship with my wife, where I am in my relationship with my kids and everything else. And sometimes I got to tell them the hard truth that I'm not in a good place, and they're there to help me get to where I need to be. See, when we figure out what we desire and we ask him for it, and we tell him about our desires, then he provides. The second one thing question is this: what one thing do you lack? See, what do you desire? Because that's about wanting to see something happen, but then the reality is what do you lack? What's missing? What's not there that needs to be there? Mark chapter 10, there's an interesting story about a rich young ruler who comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, what do I need to have eternal life? And Jesus says, well, you need to obey all the commands. He says, check, I got that. I'm good. I've been doing all the things that I'm supposed to do. I'm a good little boy. You know, I show up at church on Sunday at 10:30 and, you know, I do my thing. I hand out bulletins or I give some coffee out or I teach some kids, whatever. He does all the little things, and then he doesn't smoke, drink, and cuss or hang out with girls that do and all that stuff. And so he's like, man, check, I got that. You know, he's good. But Jesus saw deeper into him. You see, because some of us are like that guy. We're like, man, I got this made. Man, old Pastor Ron, he thinks I'm a good person. Old Pastor, you know, everybody at church, they think I got it. They think I'm okay, you know, because I'm there and I'm doing things. You know, I post some pretty cool pictures of Jesus on Facebook, you know, so I'm good. See, that's where some of us are. But the reality is he saw deeper and past the outward obedience, and he saw into his heart. And this is what he said in Mark 10, verse 21, 22. He says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Now, you need to know today that Jesus loves you. That when other people, it seems like nobody else does, you need to know that he loves you. He looked at this man and he said, one thing you lack. He said, go sell everything that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. Now today, he would say, go and sell everything you have and give it to Uwari Community Church. I'm just kidding. He would say, give it to the poor. He would say, go and just... He's not telling the guy, he didn't care if the guy sells everything and gives it to the poor. No, he's not. It's not about him having stuff. It's about stuff having him. The one thing that he lacked was having a desire for God to be number one in his life. Does that sound familiar to any of us? I think if we're all honest in the room, there's plenty of times where that's us. If it's not us, most of the time. And so he says, what you're doing, you got all the obedience down, you got the movements, you know, but you ain't, it's like me dancing. Like I got the moves, but I ain't got no rhythm. You know, if you know the moves, but you ain't got no rhythm, you can't do it. And for some of us, that's the way we are. We're trying to do the dance moves and we ain't got no rhythm. But he wants to give us the rhythm. If you lack rhythm, you can ask for rhythm and he'll give it to you. He ain't helping me dance yet, but you know, and he still ain't helping me sing either. I don't know. I got a voice, but I can't sing. But the reality is we lack stuff to be all that he wants us to be, and we're afraid to ask. We're afraid to be honest about it. This guy was unwilling to do the one thing that could have benefited him spiritually greater than anything else. He wasn't willing to do that one thing. So we think one thing's not important, right? It held that guy back from following Jesus. Now we don't know, there's always the hope that later on he got it figured out and there's, you know, all that. Doesn't matter at this point. He don't have it figured out. And he's like a lot of us who are trying to figure it out, but we're just not willing to do the one thing that needs to happen for God to be all that he wants to be in his life. For some of us, it's that one thing has become the fact that we don't read our Bibles. You know, I'm not being dogmatic. I'm not being legalistic. I'm not, you know, how do you know somebody if you don't spend time with them? If you don't spend time with your spouse, I promise your marriage is going to suck. Right? That's as spiritual as I can put it. Okay? Don't tweet that, please. Let's just keep that between us. I said that. But it's true. And so if you don't spend time with God, I'm telling you, your relationship with him is not going to be what he desires for it to be and what really you need for it to be. Many of us are wrestling with so many things that he's asking us to do. We're not generous people. Listen, how can we want to be like God but then not be generous? Being willing to help people where they need to help, not willing to let go of a little bit so that he can do a lot. We struggle with it. Some of us here need accountability. We lack it in our lives. And then we wonder why in the world, you know, everything is falling apart around us. And it's because we don't let anybody in to hold us accountable to what it is that God wants to do in our lives. Some of us lack just being around people that are godly, that are gonna try to live their life the best that they can, being like Jesus, so that we can live our lives the best we can. None of us are gonna get it right all the time. Quit expecting that. But I can tell you what we can expect, that we can live it the best that we can, the way that we know he wants us to, and we can do that by knowing what the Scripture says and how he leads us. When it comes to your relationship with God, let me ask you this. What is it that you lack? Is it prayer? Is it communication back and forth? Maybe you got the talking part down, but it's the listening part you're struggling with. And you need to be honest about that. I'm not listening to you, God. I'm just telling you what I want you to do. I don't really care what you have to say to me. Just do what I want. Listen, I'm telling you, that will get you in a bad place. Been there, done that. It's not a good thing. What do you lack from him? What do you desire from him? Third thing is this. What one thing do you need to let go? What one thing do you need to let go? I'll tell you that, in all honesty, this is the one that probably I've struggled with the most lately. If I'm just going to be completely transparent, it's been not letting go of some stuff. It's hard. It's hard when you've been hurt. It's hard when you've been, when you feel like, you know, you've been unfairly treated. It's hard when you feel like things have been done against you that just weren't right. It's hard to just say, you know what? Thank you for doing that. I appreciate that. Slap them on the butt and walk on. No, that's hard to do. It's difficult to let go of stuff like that. But we need to be able to let it go to be able to get to where God wants us to be. The Apostle Paul he helps us so much with this. And in the New Testament, he's writing so much to us, but he writes some very pointed words helping us to understand that he wanted to know Jesus. I'm not talking about know about him. I'm not talking about just kind of casual like most of us do in the church. He wanted to know him deeply. And he wrote these words in Philippians 3. He said, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, one thing, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Paul says, listen, I've been through some difficult things. I've been part of some difficult things. Paul was a persecutor of Christians. He was responsible for their torture and their murder before being converted, before recognizing Jesus and having this conversion to become Paul, to be the one now who we know as this great apostle, this great messenger of the gospel. He'd been through some tough stuff. He'd been beaten as a Christian multiple times. He'd been shipwrecked. He'd been snake bit. He'd been all kinds of stuff. But he says, listen, forgetting all of that and going towards what's ahead, I'm going towards what God's got for me. And for some of us in the room, we just got to realize we've got to forget what's back there. We don't need to forget the lessons. There might be some good lessons you need to learn, you need to hold on to. But listen, you can't dwell in it. You can't go back and fix it. You just need to go on forward where He wants you to be. I know what you're thinking. Ron, you just don't know. Ron, you can't imagine what I've been through. Truth is, most of you in here, I do kind of know what most of you have been through. You shared it with me. But the reality is I know what other people have been through too. And I know they've gone beyond it. And you can't do it on your own. You do it through Him. You realize what you desire. Realize what you lack. And then realize what you got to let go. That you can't change. You can't make it better. You can't make it worse. You just got to move on. And that's the reality of where we find ourselves. Not just forgetting. Though, you know, we can't just forget and, you know, forgive and forget. That's that old saying, you know. But listen, the reality is you need to forgive and let go and quit dwelling on it. Quit reliving it. Quit rehashing it. Man, I tell you, there's stuff that's happened to me in the last year. There's stuff that's happened to me that I can tell you took me back 20 years. More than that, it really took me back 30 years to before I accepted Jesus. And the anger and stuff that I felt, and I haven't felt in that long. Pastor Eddie will attest to it, because he's answered my phone calls to keep me out of jail. I'm just kidding. It's not that bad. But he's had to listen to me, because it's just been difficult. And so I'm telling you, I know what it's like. I understand completely. I'm not just standing up here as the guy that, you know, thinks he's, you know, he can tell you all what he should do and doesn't do it himself. I'm telling you, it's difficult to just let go and move on. But I can tell you, I know this, though, true. I know this without a doubt, that if I don't let go, it will hold me down, and it will get the best of me long before I get the best of it. And so we got to learn to let go of this stuff. Some of you have been abused in ways that, man, that would turn most of our stomachs. And I know there is pain there, and I can't imagine. But I'm telling you, that's not who you are. That's not who you are. Who you are, if you accepted Christ, is a child of the King. And you can live like that. See, here's why the church is having a hard time getting any traction in the stuff that's going on today. It's because we're not willing to live like children of the King. We just want all the benefits, and we want to act, but we don't want to live like it. And understand that He's the one who holds the keys to eternity. He's the one who has the power over all the stuff that we give ourselves over to. That He's the one who can get us out of the mess that we find ourselves in. He really is. And we need to be able to let Him have that in our lives. And that starts with you and me doing it on an individual basis. Some of us have failed at stuff. And we're still living like a failure. Listen, if you failed at something, that's kind of cool, because that means you tried at something. And so you need to just try something else. Don't fail this time. No, I'm just kidding. Just if you do, you try something else. But don't quit. You weren't created, your purpose isn't created to be a failure. You show me that in the scriptures and I'll go with you. But I promise you, there isn't anything like that. It's that you're an overcomer. It's that Jesus died for our failures and our mistakes. You don't let that stuff be who you are. Let Him be the one that shows you who you are. So what do you desire? What is it that you lack? What is it that you need to let go of? Number four, what one promise do you need to claim? What promise do you need to claim? In the Old Testament, David was given a promise, and it was kind of interesting. Samuel the prophet came, he was looking for the next king to take over King Saul's place, that God had sent him there, he was supposed to pick out, and he comes to David's house with all his brothers and all that, and he looks at this one and says, man, that one's good looking, but nah, that's not him, and this one's smart, but nah, that's not him. This one's got good manners. I don't know. But he went down the line. He was like, nah, that's not him. That's not him. And he's like, you got another son anywhere? And Jesse's like, yeah, I got, a little runt, David. And God says, that's him. And so Samuel tells him, gives him this promise that you're it. You're going to be king. God said it. And so David goes through this next period of time, though, knowing that, you know, here's this promise has been given to him, but yet King Saul, who then begins to want to get rid of him. He's like, I'm not giving into that. I'm gonna kill him. So David runs from him, and guess what he does? He runs from him to the Philistines, who are the enemies. He runs and he even hides among them at some point, and he finds himself there, and he realizes, what in the world have I done now? And he's there's this mess that he's in between a rock and a hard place. And so the reality is that David says this. He says, this one thing I know. As he prays and kind of cries out, he says, this one thing I know, God is for me. I'm trusting God. Oh, praise his promises. I'm not afraid of anything mere men can do to me. Yes, praise his promises. See, David realizes that when he's messed up and when he's done something that doesn't work, when he's trying to do it on his own and it's not working anymore, that the reality is it's God who he can go to, who's made a promise that if you'll trust it and believe it, that God will always come through. We need to be able to trust him in this. He's given us so many promises. And for some of us sitting here today, we're floundering. We don't know what to do. You're thinking, I don't know what I desire. I don't know what I'm lacking. I don't know what I need to let go of. I'm stuck. I'm just in this place of lost and wandering and trying to figure out what in the world's going on. But listen, here's the promises that he's made for us. There's a whole book of them. It's a whole book. A whole book of them. If you want to know what he's promised, then you got to open this thing up and begin to understand. But I know how it is. So I gave you a list of them. Just kind of scratched the surface, and I gave you a whole list on your program. But listen to this. That you can come to him and you can claim his promises to be what you need in your life. For some of us, we need to understand that he promises in his word to meet every need that you have from his glorious riches. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to fill your bank account. That doesn't mean he's going to give you that Lamborghini or that place at the beach. You can pray for me to get it, but you may not get it. No, I'm just kidding. But the reality is he may not do any of that for you, but he does say he will always meet our needs. Some of us worry about what we're going to get and how we're going to spend it and da-da-da-da-da. Listen, nobody in here is a bigger stuff person than me. I'm telling you, I could spend money on stuff. The other day my wife said, man, this is like Christmas around here, all these Amazon books that keep rolling in, or boxes that keep rolling in. I'm like, it's books, honey. I got to read. I got to be smarter, but then I open them and they're not really. But anyway, it sounds good anyway. But I love stuff, and I would have stuff all the time if that was a thing. But listen, he doesn't promise to give me an Amazon delivery every day, but he does promise that he will be there for me and that he will meet my needs, and I will not go hungry. I will not go without if I just trust him and believe in him and understand who he is. Some of us are hurting financially. Here's why. I get it. I've been there. I'm still kind of there. We're hurting financially because we're not living by the principles that he's given us. But he's promised to meet our needs. So if we just will do that and then live the rest of it, and use it the way that he shows us, then I'm telling you, it would take away a lot of the pains. He's promised us to meet our every need. Isn't that a cool thing? He's promised that you will not be tempted beyond what you can bear. Some of us are, you know, like, I can't say no, Ron. I can't. No. You can't, but he can. He's the strength. He's the one who helps you overcome it. He's promised that you will not get more on you than bear. Now, listen. That's kind of a trick there. Because you've been hearing that. And the reality is that he will put more on you that he'll put enough on you that will crush you, or allow enough to be put on you that will crush you. He will not put enough on you that will crush you and him. He'll always give you a way out, and he'll always be there to protect you if you allow him to be. Too often, we don't allow him to be the way out. We don't allow him to be the strength that gets us out from underneath of it. We need to understand that he will not allow that to happen in you, because he is the way out. He's the one that we can choose to allow to do that. God promises to forgive all of our sins. Did you know that? That we may know we're sinful, but he promises to forgive all of our sin. 1 John 1, 9 says that he's faithful and just to forgive all of our sins as we confess it. You can confess your sin, repent of it, and know that he forgives it. How much cooler is that? We don't have to wallow in it. We don't have to lay in it. We can be forgiven of it. God promises to make everything, even the bad things, good for us. Now listen, I don't believe that's a right to go out and just do bad stuff so he'll make it right. I don't believe that's what he's looking for. But even the things that seem difficult in our lives that he can use for good to bring us to the place that he wants us to be. God promises that if you'll feel abandoned or alone, that he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you. No more feeling alone. You can trust him and believe him. He promises that. He promises to be your ever-present help in trouble. He promises to give strength to the weary and power to the weak. He promises to guide you and give you direction. Listen, if you don't know where to go, you can pray and ask him and he will guide you. Don't wander around anymore. Ask. He promises to give you peace that goes beyond your ability to understand. If there's one thing that we need today is peace. And we need to call that into our relationships and to our marriages and situations, to call his peace in to allow us to be able to experience it. God promises to give you power to defeat Satan. He promises that nothing will separate you from his love. If he says nothing can separate you, guess what that covers? Everything. Nothing. Nothing can separate you from his love. What an incredible promise. I don't know, that one kind of like jacks me up pretty good. He promises that you are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. He promises for those that are walking without him, listen, you need to hear that he promises to give us eternal life when we accept Jesus as our Savior. You want to know why people are always trying to get you saved? You know, come on, we've all been there, man. All they want to talk about is me getting saved. That's all they want to do is get me saved. Well, that's because we want you to spend eternity with God, okay? Can you get over it and just realize that we want to do it for you? Because we want you to get to experience what we're going to experience. It's not because we think we're better. It's not because we think we got it all together. It's just that we know he does, and that's the place to go. Come on, it's not about just another notch on the belt. It's not about any of that. It's just because we want people to experience eternity with Jesus, not with Satan and burning in hell. You know, I mean, I don't know, can I put it any blunter than that? It's a reality. And he promises that through his son, Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, here's the thing. What's the one thing that you desire? You know, what is it? Is there something that you just desire to see happen in your life to fulfill the purpose that God wants you to fulfill? What's the one thing that you lack? Is there something that just you know you're missing that's keeping you from being all that God wants you to be? What do you need to let go of? What's holding you there and not allowing God to do all that he wants to do in your life? What's holding you back that you just need to let go? Or what's the promise? Is there a promise that God has given you through his word that you just need to claim and you need to hold on to right now, because that's the thing that you need. You just need to hope. You need a knot in the end of the rope to just hang on to get you through so that he can do something greater in your life. Here's what we're going to do in a minute. Band's going to come and they're going to play. And during that song, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take out that sticky note. It's going to take some guts. It's going to take some stuff here about you. I want you to take that sticky note out, and I want you to write, is it a desire? Is it a lack? Is it a let go? Or is it a promise that you need? I want you to write that on that sticky note. And I want you to bring it up here. We don't do this very often. I don't ask everybody to do it. And if you don't want to do it, that's fine. Some people here for the first time, listen, don't freak out and don't whatever. I want you to be comfortable, sort of. I want you to be uncomfortable because I want God to work in your life. And that's never, that's uncomfortable sometimes. But I just want you to come and I want you to stick it. Stick your sticky note right on the front of this stage right here. Because for this next little bit, it's just going to serve like an altar to God. Where you can just come and you can put that at his feet that you need. You have a desire that you want him to fulfill. You have something that you lack and you know what it is and you just need to, you need that in your life that you want to let go of something or that you just want to claim a promise to get you through to where the next place. I'm just going to invite you to come do that. If you're not comfortable, hey, that's okay. But even if you're not comfortable coming and putting it up here, I'm going to ask you to just still write it down. And this week, pray. That's going to be our next step this week, is that you're willing to just, you're just willing to pray and let God do whatever he wants to do in your life. And so that by doing, taking this next step, that we all move forward towards what it is that he wants for us. So I just want to invite you to do that with me. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this time together. And God, I know today has been, I've been kind of passionate about it. But God, I'm just so anxious to see you do what it is that you want to do in lives. God, I get the privilege of being able to just see you at work sometimes when people don't see you working in their own lives. And God, I know that there are just some people here today that, and in fact, I think it's just all of us, that you want to do something greater in our lives. And so in these moments, God, I pray that we wouldn't worry about what somebody else might think, or we won't worry about our pride or, you know, how cool we are or just whatever. But God, it's just you and us. And that we'll just tune in to what it is that you want, and you'll begin to just speak to us, and that as we come forward, God, and we put those things up here, that we truly just let you have them, that we'll give you those desires, that we'll seek you for those things we're lacking, to allow you to be the strength that helps us to let go, or God, that we just grab hold of the promise that you've made, and God, know that you're just strong and faithful, and we can trust you in whatever you said you would do. So God, just have your way. God, for those that are here that need to just accept you today as Lord to be saved, I pray that we would just have a freedom of your spirit here to move and just to help people make that decision. So God, whatever it is that you need to do, may you just have freedom in this place. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.